Jesus is with his disciples. It's the Last Supper. It's his farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. And he is telling them that he's giving them a new commandment, that they love one another. But the question is, how is that new? Right? Isn't it already in the Hebrew Scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself? That's not new. So what's Jesus up to here? What's new about this commandment? I think the first thing we would need to look at is the context in which Jesus is speaking. It says, when he had gone out, Jesus said to the disciples, or something like that, right? Well, the he who had gone out, we know who that is? Judas. Judas is going out in order to betray him. Jesus and Judas had just had this conversation, and they are the only two that know what Judas is up to. The rest of the disciples think, oh, Judas, he's off to do some banking. But no, he's off to betray Jesus. So, he goes. And then right after we hear this, Peter says, Jesus, why are you telling us that we can't go where you're going? I'm willing to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. So between the guy who's going to betray him and the guy who's going to deny him, and among all the people who are going to flee when Jesus is arrested, he says, love one another as I have loved you. As I continue to love you, even when you are at your worst. That's maybe something new, huh? And it even might be that Jesus is saying, not only love one another, but he mentions that there are, he says, as I told the Jews, now I'm telling you. Well, that's not really a very good translation. It is, as I told, it can be either those who are in Judea, or it could be the leaders of the temple in Jerusalem. The Judeans are, everybody in the whole story is a Jew. So to say, as I told the Jews, doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm getting at, right? So he's telling the people who live in Judea. And maybe it's this. Look, you guys, my boys, we're Galilean boys. And what I want you to do is love those Judean guys. No matter what they do, love them. And that's how you'll know that you are my disciples. That you love one another. Not just the ones that you already love. That's kind of easy to love those who you already love. But love those who you are over against right now. As Judas is over against Jesus, as Peter's going to be over against Jesus, as the followers of Jesus are going to be over against those leaders in Judea. Love one another. It's a much more expansive thing than just you 12 love one another. Take care of each other. That's too small for God. But to say, but you love those who are going to persecute me. That gets bigger and more challenging. And that's not the end of it. Because we already have in the book, in the book of Acts, as Roberta so beautifully read, the whole story of Peter and the Gentiles. Not only are you supposed to love your fellow Jews, even when you're over against them over an issue or another, but there's now this whole thing about the Gentiles. Y'all know about Gentiles, right? You know how they are. I mean, they eat bad stuff. Their sexual practices are abysmal. They'll worship just about anything that moves. And some things that don't. Gentiles, oi. But somehow, this is the way God's expanding love works. So, Peter is there, and you know this story. This is actually, it's told three times. This is actually the second time Acts is told the story. It happens first in Acts 10, this is Acts 11, and in 15 we're going to hear it a third time. The sheet comes down, it's full of animals, and this is all about kosher, right? Peter is saying, I can't eat that stuff, that's not kosher. And God says, what I have called clean, you must not call unclean. Three times this happens. And Peter finally gets the message. Ah, he's not talking about animals, he's talking about people. And here comes Cornelius' people to come and ask Peter to come with them to go and visit Cornelius. And he goes, and it's not in this one, but he gets to the door of the house, and in Acts 10, he gulps. He says, you know, it's not legal for us to enter the house of a Gentile. But I got a word from God. And then he steps over the threshold, and he's in among the Gentiles. It's a huge deal. You don't want Gentile influences on you. You just don't want that. Being a Gentile myself, I can tell you, you don't want that. That's Peter's thinking. But he's saying God has said this. And so in they go. He speaks the word about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes down just like it had at the beginning. What he means is that the beginning was Pentecost. And the Spirit comes down on them, and then he does this crazy thing. He baptizes Gentiles into those who are following Jesus. So that's the story. But now Peter has to justify himself before the council, the council that is the Jewish followers of Jesus, their council in Jerusalem. And when Peter arrives, they're mad, right? They criticize Peter of all people. This is Saint Peter. But they're like, what are you doing? What kind of knucklehead are you doing this? And he says, Luke says, then Peter explained it to them step by step, which I just find that beautiful. This is just a little sidebar about this. Yesterday, I went up to the hospital to see a member of our church, and I'd seen her a couple of times. And this time, though, they said, a nurse came out and said, we're not having visitors here. And I said, oh, well, okay. I visited a couple times before. It was okay. And she says, no, you didn't. And luckily, I had in my mind Peter explaining step by step. Right? I think that's a very gracious thing, because Peter is, you know how Peter is, right? He just speaks whatever he wants to speak, and it's usually not very accurate. But in this case, he says step by step, he explained it to them. And so I sort of step by step explained it to the nurse. I wasn't able to go visit, but I didn't offend her, and that was really, I counted that as a victory, because I remembered Peter, step by step. And here's Peter, and he step by step goes through the whole story again. And isn't that beautiful? And these people who are mad at him, and yet Peter says, oh, let me just take you along on my trip, on my journey, right? Trusting that they will actually understand and recognize the work of the Spirit when they see it. And indeed, they do. He tells them all about it. He tells them what he's done. He leaves out a few parts, which I think are really interesting. But you know, he's telling them the story. And at the end of it, they go, ha! You got to be kidding. Even the Gentiles receive the repentance that leads to life. Wow. Amazing. God's love just keeps expanding. God's inclusion just keeps expanding. Which brings us to our day. So I got word of an organization that's really working hard to get people, to get people And their phrase is to love what Jesus loves and to hate what Jesus hates. And then they go on to tell us all the things that Jesus hates, including communists and gay people and all of that. And I'm like, no, what is that? And I got really my righteous indignation, right? I'm getting really mad at them, all right? And so I'm going to hate them because they hate people. I'm going to hate them to show them that hating is wrong. That's what I'm going to do right here, right? I totally am going to disagree with them. But here's the thing. Instead of just kind of lashing out as is my wont, what I want to do instead is just go and explain to them step by step. I want to enter into them. I want to love them. And to be able to love them in such a way as to be able to enter into conversation. And to say, look, really, is this Jesus? Is that what Jesus is doing? Hating? And God willing, that's what will happen. But the point of it is that God's love continues to expand and to expand and to expand. And it expands so much that it even includes me, who wants to hate people who hate people. Isn't that the good news? Huh? It always, God's expanding love, it looks so scary and it looks so expansive and just too much for us. And then we find out that that love just lands right on our doorstep. And I remember a guy, a pastor, he was talking about, this was back in 2009 when there was this big split and stuff over whether gay and lesbian people could be ordained and all of that in Lutheran Church. And he was not for that, but he was for, he had these people in his church, he was telling a story about how these people were like, you know, we can't have gay people in our church, and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, you know what? He said, God's love is so big that it will include all kinds of people. Gay and lesbian, straight, doesn't matter, all of those people. And you know what? It's large enough also that it might even include bigots like you. Whoa. And then he said, and bigots like me. That's it. God's love expands and expands and expands, and it comes right back to us. Thanks be to God for that expanding love. And rather than look at it with fear and with like apprehension, and we know that feeling in us is like, no, it's going too far, it's going too far. And the answer to that is yes, it is going too far. It's going so far that only God can be behind it. We can't make ourselves stretch that far. But God can, and God does. And so God gives us this impossible commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Impossible, scary, except that God hands that love over to us. And only by God's handing it over to us are we able to do it. Love one another. And check your front door. It'll arrive there too.